Today's show has been brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. Today, we're going a little bit beyond sauce and cheese, not too far beyond. I've long been eating pizza and other junk food and loving it, but never have I thought that my snack habits could constitute a potential social or political expression. But a few weeks ago, that all changed. The internet was formally introduced to the concept of snack wave, coined by two awesome lady writers, Hazel Sills and Gabrielle Noon, to, quote, describe the current internet phenomenon of young women and teenage girls expressing an obsession with snack foods. They're both joining us over the phone, and we have one of my professors, the brilliant Jennifer Berg, director of NYU Food Studies Program and a professor of race and gender, in the studio with us to give us the academic take on this and also to talk about her favorite snacks. Trigger warning, there will be lots of discussion of both delicious and unhealthy snacks on today's show, so you may want to heat up a pizza pocket or unwrap a sleeve of Oreos. Thank you guys so much for being with us.
Hi. Thank you.
Hazel and Gabrielle, for listeners who haven't yet read your Snack Wave piece on the Hairpin, which, I mean, come on, guys, it's been on our Facebook for 3 days, been up for a couple months, but for people who don't know, can you explain the phenomenon of Snack Wave?
Yeah, totally. Gabby, do you want to, or I can take this?
Should I start? Okay. Well, it's like this internet phenomenon of young women, mostly teen girls, like expressing a sort of obsession with snack foods beyond just like, oh, like this is my favorite food. It's like it's become a sort of meme, and it's like there. It's like this whole trend of like sort of making jokes about your life in relation to snacks. I don't know. What do you think, Hazel?
Yeah, no, totally. It's definitely, it's like a meme, but it's also kind of a voice that we've just seen, not just throughout the internet, but in terms of higher culture too, fashion. And we touched on companies marketing their like frozen pizzas and nachos throughout the internet, with sort of like using the snack wave voice or pretending to be, you know, teenage girls. So it's very much like a tone that these girls have been using on the internet.
For sure. And who would you say some of Snack Wave's biggest sort of exemplars are? You cite Liz Lemon, who's actually, you know, in her 30s, but one of my personal favorites among others, sort of in the range, you know, 20s, 30s. But who would you say is like carrying this banner if you had to characterize the, you know, the snack wave of leaders?
I would
like,
say...
Like a fictional character or a real person?
Both. I mean, if you could just sort of, like, paint a picture almost of who the snack waver is. Like, I know that you have Rory Gilmore in there. I mean, feel free to drop some names of pop culture people. But but even just, like, a sketch of who the typical snack waver is, as far as you can tell. Can I say snack waver, by the way? I just made that up right now. People who snack wave. Snack wavers. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say Molly Soda, who is an artist, and she's just sort of like this prolific Tumblr user. She graduated from NYU with like a photography degree, and her Tumblr and like internet presence is like very heavily grounded in like, you know, teen nostalgia. And she was one of the first people that I saw who was kind of interacting with the Taco Bell Twitter account like it was a real person. And so she would sort of tweet at Taco Bell, like, where are you? I miss you so much. And then Taco Bell would sort of tweet back at her, like, I'm always here for you. And I think that was sort of, she kind of exemplifies like a snack wave girl. She's like, she's young, she's on the internet a lot. She probably eats a lot of pizza and like makes jokes about it.
Right. So Jenny, as a professor of gender and food, and obviously not
of, a tween?
Of a, yes, to put it lightly, not a tween, not in our
Excuse
age group.
Excuse me.
Sorry to out you on the radio. What's your sort of initial reaction to Snack Wave? Where do you see it falling in sort of like the current culture and also maybe the spectrum of feminism that we're in right now?
Not to belittle our really brilliant writers from wherever you are out there. There's something sort of adorable and also something incredibly formulaic about it. And I think every generation needs to redefine themselves in context to the people before them. So it's, in a sense, it's a just like a repackaged 1960s counterculture against some sort of former establishment. Mm-hmm. So teens and 20-somethings, and this is not a microcosm of teens and 20-somethings. This is teen and 20-something white, affluent, maybe suburban girls with mm-hmm. lots of education and lots of privilege, mm-hmm. which is fine. It's not a disparaging comment. Once right. upon a time, I was that as well. So,
right.
But it's in contrast to something. And so this group is, it's in contrast to the people maybe just either a few years older, or it's the green kelp shake, kale salad, quinoa at all cost, power bar, Luna bar, supplement mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
But it really isn't any different than in the 1960s saying we're only going to eat falafel that we make by grinding our own fava beans. Mm-hmm. Or my generation in college, and I went to a school in upstate New York, and it was all about food connoisseurship. And so we drank very expensive wine, but we absolutely disparaged anybody that drank any expensive import beer, that it was a marker mm-hmm. of social status to drink Jenny Cream Ale made in Central New York. So there's something, or, you know, young white males wearing very, very, very baggy jeans mm-hmm. with butt crack.
Right.
Visible butt crack.
Right. Hazel, Gabrielle, do you have any sort of anything to respond to that, or are you sort of in agreement there?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree on the point about the kale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's we touched on that very lightly in our piece, but this reaction to, like, you know, as you said, like health food culture and such.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting is that in all these cases, even Jenny Wigger saying, going back to counterculture, and again, a very specific subset of society that is able to make these kinds of decisions. But what's interesting to me about all of this, and specifically Snack Wave, because it rings true for my generation, is that it's a reaction to women being told what to eat or how to eat or what is culturally or nutritionally acceptable for us to eat. So I'm wondering, and this is a question for all three of you, how eating junk food or eating a whole pizza counteracts that or plays into it. I mean, on the other hand, are we just sort of like playing into this hand of you're telling us to eat healthy and love salad? And the hairpin actually is a great photo montage of just women eating salad laughing, which I right. love, you know, just sort of this is, it's so fun mm-hmm. and enjoyable for just us to eat exactly how we're told. How does this sort of interplay with that? And you can all sort of chime in with your thoughts.
Well, I think there's something to it where it's just kind of like fun to just be eating junk food with your friends. Like, this is, like, I feel like Snack Wave is, it's something different than, like, I wouldn't say it's the same as, like, I'm sad, I'm going to, like, you know, go eat ice cream alone. You know what I mean? Like, it's different than, like, it's different than sort of, like, using snacks as, like, a way of, like, relieving your, like, a sadness or, you know what I mean, in, like, an unhealthy way. I feel like that came out, like, all mangled.
It's an empowering thing.
I feel
thing.
Like it's more just, like, this, it's more just, like, the antithesis to, like, there's this just, like, whole fitness of things, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's, you know what I mean? Women are constantly made to feel like, oh, like I'm indulging, like, oh, guilty pleasure, haha. Where this is just kind of like, oh, whatever, I'm going to hang out with my friends. We're going to eat Totino pizza rolls and, like, we're having a good time. But, like, at the same time, you know, like, I personally like to say, like, I'm like, oh, don't, like, reveal to the internet that, like, I love salad. and that, like, I do Pilates videos. I'm like, I don't want, well, I'm revealing it now.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
Like, you know, yeah, it's embarrassing. But I feel like there's just, like, a sense to it of just, like, you know, like, you're not sort of, like, I'm not concerned if somebody thinks I'm gross because I just feel like eating junk food right now. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Jenny, you look like you're on the tip of saying something. No.
I think that you may be making it as though it's really light and it's just about you and your friends hanging out and eating burgers and pizza and letting it drip all over you in your pajamas, and it's sort of fun. But it is perhaps on the cusp of some sort of social movement. And I do think that there is something...
I don't mean to minimize it.
No, I don't think you should minimize it. I mean, I think that there is something that is empowering about women taking control of their bodies and saying, I can eat this. I don't have to eat this prescribed way that society is telling me to. So it's like, we should all get out banners and say, put down the kale salad and pick up the cheeseburger. And that's okay. But is it okay because you're sitting wherever you are in London or New York in your size 4 jeans? Is that why it's okay? If you were size 16, is that okay? Mm-hmm. So these are rhetorical questions, but it's really cute and funny when on Gilmore Girls, when Rory and Lorelai are sitting there, yeah, you know, eating junk food galore, and they're both very slim, and not just slim, but they are toned and they look healthy in their scrubby, absolutely, white pink cheeks. Is that okay? But how do we feel about the fat character? You never see, I forgot her name.
What is
it? Now that my daughter is not in her teens.
Suki,
the chef. Okay. Now that my daughter's not a tween anymore, we don't watch it. But you never saw her eating like that. Mm-hmm. She would be eating very sort of upscale food, but you never saw her, you know, sneaking a Twinkie. Mm-hmm. That would not be empowering. Mm-hmm. We would look at that and that would be sort of disgusting.
Right.
We would pass judgment on it. Mm-hmm. And that's where this is a slippery slope.
Right. And that's where it gets difficult, is what is the ideal then? Is it that everyone can, you know what I mean, Hazel, that you could say, like, I do Pilates and sometimes I eat kale and sometimes I eat pizza, and that an overweight, whether she's a character or a African-American or someone in a different socioeconomic class, could also say, yes, I'm eating this and it's okay, or that I'm getting enjoyment out of this, or, you know what, I would really rather eat kale, but I can't afford to, or it's not accessible, you know, like, what do you guys, I think this, what Snackwave is, why Snackwave is appealing to me, is because I think it's a really interesting first step, and it's a great way to open the door to that conversation of, you know, problem that feminism has always had, which is including everyone and taking into account where different people are coming from. And I know that's a really big question, but I'm wondering if any of you guys sort of have, like, you know, if this is the tip of the iceberg, then what is the rest of the iceberg, you know?
Social.
I mean, I was just going to say, I feel like when we started writing Snackwave, it was, we weren't really thinking of it, and I know we said not to minimize it, but we weren't really thinking of it as a social feminist movement. We were thinking of it as this collective, there are these girls on the internet, and they're all talking about their relationships with food in the same way. And we thought that was extremely interesting because it was very jokey. It was very lighthearted. And then the corporation started picking up on it, and I think that was what I was most interested in. But in terms of, like, where the rest, I mean, is this the tip of the iceberg? I mean, I feel like, and
in our essay, we really just tried to stress that this isn't the new ideal. I don't think SnackWave is the new ideal. I think it's cool, and brands are, there's definitely something cool to it. There's a bunch of kids on the internet who are talking about, you know, eating cheeseburgers all the time, and, you know, corporations are picking up on this tone and using it in tweets and such. But I wouldn't say that it's the new ideal, and there's that line in there where I talk about, you know, it's not about being anti-salad, and it's not being about pro-pizza. It's just about, you know, sort of like letting your guard down and just, you know, just like eating and just having fun and like wearing a t-shirt that's covered in cheese fries or something. So I just wanted to say that I don't know, framing it as a social movement it's very, very interesting, but I think I was coming at it with the perspective of, you know, this is, like we said, it's like a meme. It's in that sense.
And also, like in our piece, we also address this. It's very true, because there's, in terms of like, you know, in terms of like white privilege, thin privilege.
Oh, totally.
Like,
yeah.
There's this ideal of this. We talked about like the ideals, like the cool girl who, you know, is able to like, the cool girl like posing with like cool girl posing with food, like she can like eat a bunch of cheeseburgers just like all the guys, yet she still maintains this like ideal body type. And we address this, how, you know, this is that's something that is an ideal and it's not necessarily real, but at the same time it's like also addressing that, like, you know, you shouldn't have to, but if you are, at the same time, if you are like a thin, cute girl, you shouldn't have to feel like you're putting on a weird act if you're eating junk food as well.
For sure. Jenny, what do you think? I mean, sort of going back to the question of what is the rest of this, if this is the, you know, the internet meme for our group, whether it's a meme or maybe I'm reading into it too much. I think our generation is, you know, a lot of our movements are happening on the internet, for better or worse. But
right. And I think that, I mean, I appreciate, I mean, I think the essay is, I think it's really well written. I think it's really fun. And I actually think, you know, I'm being tongue in cheek, and I'm obviously finding holes in it and kind of pulling it apart. But I do think that you are on the cusp of a social movement. Maybe that's because that's my occupational baggage, that I look at things and find that there's going to be some larger social meaning. Social movements begin either at the top of society or at the bottom of society. They never begin in the middle of society. The middle follows suit, either up or down. And so your group here, you are not the top of all society. Sorry, don't want to break your hearts. But you are kind of the epitome of the society of young, teen, 20, smart thinkers. And so this probably is a momentum. I'd love to see people posting women, young women, I'm not even saying morbidly obese women, but just average weight or chubby, my favorite word, big boned, all of those euphemisms for probably should shed a few pounds, talking about this, and that to still be an empowering moment, as opposed to the public feeling as though they have the right and the authority to be the moral barometers about what people eat. Nobody is going to judge a Jennifer Lawrence when she says she wants a pizza on the red carpet. People say, oh my God, she's like the perfect girl next door. So, so cute. That's great. But let's get a fat actress in spandex and say that. Everyone is going to take to the waves and something disparaging. Or the dollar pizza. It's okay. It's kind of fun and kind of grungy to say that we eat dollar pizza when the next day we could eat, you know, $16, $20 artisan craft pizza. And that's also okay, because we have an element of personal agency and choice. But the person who's buying the $1 pizza and that's all they can eat, is that empowering? I don't think so.
Right. True. We have We have so much more to get into. We're just going to take a quick break. We will get to more pizza, feminism, memes, pop culture in just a second. But before we do, here is a quick pizza news brief of the week.
Pizza news brief.
Last week, we were talking pizza bagels, but the new hybrid pizza food in town appears to be the pizza donut. Bakers Fawn Mathers and Taylor Mosier of Santa Ana, California-based bakery Dough Exchange fry their donuts to order and then top them with San Marzano tomato sauce, fresh mozzarella, and fresh basil, then bake them to melt in the cheese. They don't open until Tuesday, but I predict that they might create cronut-level lines, although Jenny's face is indicating differently. They sound awesome to me. Two Boots fans in Park Slope can rejoice. The New York chain had their soft opening on Monday in a new location on 5th Ave and 1st Street, and they're hosting a grand opening party at 6 p.m. November 25th with live music, beer, and free pizza. In true Brooklyn fashion, they will be serving vegan pies and source their salad from Gotham Greens, which grows on the roof of Whole Foods' Gowanus branch. A farm-to-pie pizza is also reportedly in the works. That's been your Pizza Brief. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Pizza Party. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Spicy Peanuts by Evan Hashi. Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We're talking about pop culture, feminism, and junk food today with the Hairpin writers Gabrielle Noon and Hazel Sills and NYU Food Studies Director and Gender Professor Jenny Berg. Welcome back, guys. I think, Hazel and Gabrielle, your piece does a really great job of synthesizing a lot of the issues about this trend. I mean, I know we've sort of been pushing you on this, but I think, you know, this is a conversation that's clearly happening and it's been going on for a while. When the New York Times actually covered your piece, they cite a great and really interesting 2009 Jezebel piece by Sadie Stein, who wrote about sort of this concept of the skinny glutton, where she makes the argument basically that, you know, this celebratory binging that we're talking about is problematic on several levels, most of all in a country where we have serious issues both of obesity and undernutrition. So in a way, like, sort of what we've been getting at, but we're dancing around, is like, for a lot of people, this stuff isn't fun or cute. And I'm wondering how you respond to that, if you've seen any pushback of that nature to the article, or I know we've talked about it a little bit, but sort of what, how you would respond, and Jenny, your response as well, to, you know, we have nutrition and obesity issues in this country that are pretty serious. And so how do we do this and have it be meaningful and, you know, fun and cool for a certain subset of women? Jenny, you want to go?
I mean, you guys want to comment about your, maybe they should comment first. Okay. Now?
Sure. I was going to say, I mean, definitely we've already touched on the fact that a lot of people who are sort of, you know, using the snack wave voice online on their blogs are not these people who are necessarily struggling with nutrition and obesity issues, or are the people who can, you know, go out the next day and buy, you know, vegetables and go to Whole Foods or something like that. But I think that SnackWave, it does this thing where it makes eating these foods so cartoonish that you don't even really need to eat, to partake in the eating to do it. I mean, I certainly couldn't eat 1,000 pizzas, but some people couldn't eat 1,000 pizzas, yet they're tweeting about it. So it just makes me think Snackwave has just gotten to this place where it's just, you know, talking about getting married at the Cheesecake Factory eating McDonald's every day. Gabby, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the whole Snackwave thing, I would say, probably minimal of like the whole, this whole trend is actually a lot less about the actual, like, documentation of, I'm eating this. Mm-hmm. And it's more of this, like, exactly like this cartoony aesthetic based around junk food. And it's more like jokes about junk food. Or, like, I think it's significant the fact that you can go into any, like, fast fashion retailer right now and you can find leggings and T-shirts printed with pizzas and French fries and burgers. Like, that was not a trend 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like the way, you know, it's like becoming like a high fashion trend now. You're seeing like the Moschino McDonald's collection, things like that, and then how now all of these corporate corporate entities like Twitter, like for food companies, are like taking on the voice that teenage girls originated, like making jokes on Tumblr in regards to snack food. Like, one of my favorites was like, Totino's didn't make up this joke. There was like this joke on Tumblr that was like, why have gender roles when you can have pizza roles? Mm-hmm. That I'm sure a teenage girl, or maybe a teenage boy, but like a young person using Tumblr originated. And then, you know, then you have like brands picking up on like, oh, like, they're making fun, like, they're making pretty funny jokes, like, if jokes about, like, our products, let's capitalize on that. Like, you can see it with the Denny's Twitter, with the IHOP Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so, I feel like, in a way, the whole Snackwave thing is, it's a lot, like, the majority of what I would define as this trend that we're calling Snackwave is about the sense of humor and the, like, aesthetic surrounding it, less so, I think, than actually, like, the constant consumption of the food itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's more the conversation and the symbol.
So I just want to just push a little bit on this. What is the joke, the original joke? If it's not about I ate 12 pies, what is funny about saying it? Because I'm using this as a rhetorical question, and I'm going to answer what I think you think is funny about this. Not the two of you, but just... this conversation feels very much a class-based imperialist joke of we can joke that we eat this. It's sort of funny because, ha-ha, of course we don't. Mm-hmm. Or we can, it's kind of like we can just get down and get dirty and slum just a little bit. It's we go to a foreign country and we want to, quote, eat like the locals. Let's find the diviest place.
I don't think that's the joke, though. I don't think I hear anyone making a joke that's like, ha-ha, I could eat 12 pizzas. Like, that's not funny.
But so what is the joke?
The over-the-top, the fact that you're wearing a T-shirt that looks like a pizza, that's the joke. It's just funny. It's not, teenagers of all classes eat fast food and like fast food. I mean, I don't... It's hard to explain the joke because it's just the cartoonish nature of it. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and then we talked about, you know, the trend of sad girl internet culture sort of crossing over into this. And I think that is when it can get funny, when it's, you know, a Twitter account like So Sad Today talking about how her tears, you know, tastes like Coca-Cola or something. That gets funny because you take something that is, you know, sweet and people like to drink, and then you combine it with something pathetic and you get a joke out of it.
Right. It's
so
a trope.
I think there's different levels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there is something to be said. Also, the fact, I mean, we haven't really talked about the fact that Snackwave is a female thing. I mean, regardless of, like, you know, white privileged females, it wouldn't, I don't think it would be funny if guys were doing this. And so I'm wondering what it is about women that we really have this response, you know, and then we have things sort of like what you guys were alluding to, like Instagrams, like you did not eat that, which are these beautiful model type women with giant burgers or whole pizzas or, you know, Kate Moss and slices of pizza type Instagrams, which we also are feeding into that. It's women. It's like you wouldn't do that with men. And there is like the male equivalent. I think it's like men eating salad and healthy things and like, oh, did you eat that? I don't know. But we don't question men and what they consume in the same way as women.
I think this stuff is really provocative. I actually think that the not reading into it, but just seeing it as the shock first. I think the initial response for most people would be, this is incredibly empowering for young women. Right. This is like, it's like, you know, we had Take Back the Night in the 70s and 80s, and you guys have like Take Back the Pizza, or you know.
I don't agree with that. I would not say that at all. I mean,
I mean, maybe I have friends who are, but the rapes
on campuses in this country are extremely. I mean, we have our own Take Back the Nights. We have the Columbia. This is not our Take Back the Night.
No, like I and friends of mine are, you know, activists against rape on campus. Like, this is a separate thing. Like, this is just, like,
what
I don't, like.
Where do you guys see the female aspect of it coming in, though? Because we haven't really talked about that. I mean, the fact that it is women, and I think that's part of what makes it funny, like you're saying, but also what makes it, like Jenny's saying, is the cusp of something bigger, of us sort of like finally dealing with our really, really weird and dysfunctional feelings and thoughts and conversations around eating. And I'm going to just like keep it to America because it's too complicated to go elsewhere. But, you know, what do you think it is about women participating in this that, like, whether it makes it funny or makes it meaningful, makes it sort of a center for women to have this conversation and not men? Because dudes eating 12 pizzas, I just don't.
That's nothing funny. Right. It's sort of boring.
Yeah. So what is, why women?
Guys eating pizza.
Anyone?
I mean, I think it originated because we saw teenage girls talking about this way more on the internet than we saw guys. And even just fast fashion, it's more of a trend with girls. And I think, like, again, back to the Twitter accounts of Saturday, there's just a very specific, you know, like girls talking about their feelings on the internet is just, that's just happens every day. And then this was just a trend that sort of emerged within that where, you know, people started bringing like junk food into the mix. So I think it started for us when as being female, because the people who were making, you know, the funniest clothes, the funniest jokes that we sort of, defined as snack wave were just young women. They were teenagers and they were, you know, kids in college and such. So
I think it's great. This could not have existed. Granted, we didn't have the internet, but it couldn't have existed as a trend in the 70s or the 80s. So you are on a cusp of something, and that's, and for me that's exciting. So the link to Take Back the Night was, I didn't mean to be offensive in any way. I guess what I'm saying is that was, in the 70s and 80s, that was the only form of sort of vocal empowerment for young women. And your generation is incredibly exciting because you have all of these outlets and you're grasping and creating all of these arenas to do it.
For sure. So we are really sadly out of time because there's so much more we could talk about it. But before we go, I want to hear from all of you about where listeners can go if they want to read more about this type of overlap, either between like pop culture and food, feminism and food. I mean, Jenny, if you have books that you like, guys, if you have blogs that you recommend, or, you know, books and blogs on either end, just sort of what you guys are reading in this space that's interesting, because I think that this is a conversation that happens in a lot of different forums and it's probably going to keep happening. And Snack Wave, your piece, was not the beginning nor the end of it. So what are you guys sort of reading or recommending for people to look at if they're thinking about this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I would say read Molly Soda's blog, read the So Sad Today Twitter account, you know, read Tumblr.
Yeah.
You have to go to the source and you have to go to Tumblr. And I mean, even if you look at the Snackwave tag on there right now, like Tostino's Pizza Rolls, the company itself is using that hashtag to make content.
Yeah.
I mean, don't read just the brand's content, but read like real teenagers' content.
For sure. Yeah, like it's hard. It's hard to recognize because it's just like I'd say it's more just like this organic sense of humor amongst girls who have Twitter accounts. You know, you should follow Official Cheetos.
Official Cheetos. On it.
Official Cheetos is not the Official Cheetos account, but I recommend it.
Cool. Jenny, how about you?
I want to follow stuff that the two of you write because this was very well crafted.
Awesome.
And I think it was more provocative than the two of you think it was.
Great. Well, we are out of time, but thank you, Hazel and Gabrielle, and of course, Jenny, for joining us in the studio and in some cases from across the pond or the city. This has been another great episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network. We are about to start our fundraising drive, so if you like what you hear, feel free to check out the website, listen to more, and consider becoming a member or donating. You can also catch us anytime on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, so definitely check us out there. Huge thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizza this season. Thank you to my sponsor, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass for our intro song, my wonderful and always cool under pressure engineer, Liz, and of course, all of you out there for listening. We are taking next week off for turkey, but we will be back in December with more cheesy, saucy goodness. This has been another episode of Pizza Party. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.